Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
My question of the day is, does John Rook work here anymore? Where the hell is he today, Kevin?
I don't know. His plans got changed. I think he was traveling for like PC basketball or something like that.
He's gone for the whole week?
Was I think he has a game tonight, but he left yesterday. I think is.
I haven't seen him since the Jets game.
Yeah, he was in on Tuesday, but then he.
I'm not here on Tuesday.
And
so
he would have called from the airport, I guess, yesterday. He actually did call me from the airport yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, this is still Playbook. I'm Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. Usually you hear me during the first hour of this show, but you're not going to hear John Rook today because he's off gallivanting doing his professional broadcaster
thing. But apparently, according to Fred, we have Buster Olney instead, so it's fine.
No, Fred Baxter. Yeah, the former tight end from the Jets. Now, Russell Baxter, our friend from BaxFootballGuru.com. That's his website, right? Because that's also his Twitter handle, BaxFootballGuru. Great statistician, fact guy, NFL resource of knowledge, just an encyclopedia. We'll have him on as usual. An abbreviated version of the Playbook today, only going to be on for about an hour. And then later today, if you're listening live, we will give it up to Pete Shepard and Brian Lowe with the Fantasy Lowdown.
Yep, B. Lowe will have that from 4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Pete will be extended 5 to 6.
Right, and if you're listening via podcast, you don't have to worry about skipping that far ahead. You can just download it whenever you want. But for the time being, it's Thursday of Colts Week, which means, as always, we're looking for your predictions on the Playbook. What do you think score-wise is going to happen in this game? But a little bit more than that this week. I want to know if anybody is having any trepidation about this game, because I am a little bit. I mean, if there's ever a trap game, this has all the makings for one. I mean, look at last year against Cleveland. Nobody thought a horrible team like that, Patriots would go in there and lay an egg, but they did. I just have a really bad feeling about a team that they've, you know, bitter rivals with. I know they haven't won a game this year. I know they're changing quarterbacks, taking Dan Orlovsky this week over Curtis Painter, but it might also have a different running back in there than they have had for most of the season. So they still have Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. They still have Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, and those guys are dangerous. I don't take this game for granted at all. I'm not taking it lightly. And I know Bill Belichick certainly isn't either, based on the tone that he had with reporters yesterday when just even the mere mention of the word record and Colts came up in the same sentence. He, I think, is as worried as anybody about, you know, there being a letdown and people taking this game not seriously enough. I mean, look, the game was supposed to be the primetime game on NBC to begin with, because obviously everybody expected it to be another Brady Manning duel. But when that didn't materialize a few weeks ago, the networks and the league announced that they were going to switch the game out. They were going to flex it out. And rightly so, because it would have, you know, it's probably not going to be that thrilling a game. But I want to know if fans are going to be taking this game lightly, or going to be taking this game for granted. Are you going to be following this game as closely as you would, you know, even last week's game, say, which had the intrigue of, you know, the dream team, so to speak, and whether or not Vic would play or whatever. There are a lot of, you know, individual talent, the return of, you know, the reunion with Asante Samuel last week. Are you taking this game seriously? Are you going to be watching this game as closely as you would on a normal week? Or do you just think it's going to be a gimme? Is it going to be blowout like, you know, Paul Perillo predicted, 72-3? Do you have any fear at all that this game could be troublesome for New England? I do. I'm not saying they're going to lose, because I did pick them to win, but you know, they're favored by 20 points now. What was it originally, 21, Kevin?
Yeah, it was originally 21, and then once they fired the coordinator and right. Orlovsky got thrust into the starter's position, they took the game off the board.
They took it off the board.
Yep.
But I don't know. Too many people.
It's so hard to pick with the spread when it's that big. Because you could get the proverbial, the Patriots could be up 24, 25 points, and the Colts could get
the cheap one at the end.
Garbage touchdown. You
know? Well, like the Eagles did last week, because that game wasn't even as close as 38-20 last week. I don't know. Something about this game just worries me. I don't think they're going to lose, but I don't think it's going to be the blowout that everyone's expecting either. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but especially now, we're getting late in the season now. They're in a fight for playoff seeding position. I mean, let's not pretend ourselves here. They're going to wrap up the AFC East, I'm pretty sure of that, but they need to get a first-round bye again, and they could potentially get the number one seed. Overall, they can't afford to let any games go by. Look, they're fighting. The Steelers are still at 8-3. The Texans, you know, all the injuries that they've suffered aside, they're still sitting pretty in their division.
It's a logjam at 8-3.
It is. It really is.
Baltimore, the Patriots, and the Texans are the consensus.
Those.
So you really have four teams for the top two spots to get the bye.
Right. And since New England's already lost to Pittsburgh, they can't afford to fall any further than a tie behind them, or else they have no shot
at
overtaking them.
They need to kind of pull for Baltimore a little bit just so the Patriots wouldn't have that tiebreaker come into effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They definitely need that because that's I think, the toughest division right now is that AFC North.
With the Bengals, who we're not even talking about, sitting there at 7-4 as well.
Yeah, and they could easily be a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals, you know, they play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, I believe, this weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a huge game for Cincinnati. If they win that game, then that division is just completely wide open between not two but three teams.
New England needs to root for Cincinnati and Baltimore this weekend. Definitely. You know, the Falcons might help, too, going into Houston. Knocking the Texans down a peg, but, you know, who knows? The Falcons haven't been that consistent either this year. So, I don't chalk that up as an easy win for them either, even though the Texans are on their third string quarterback. They still have enough talent on that team that I think they might, you know, they might be able to surprise people for another week or two, but, I don't know. Let me know what you think. Webradio at patriots.com, as always, is the email address, 508-298-0398, if you want to call in and give us your thoughts. I don't have the Facebook page opened up like John Rook usually does, but still plenty of ways you can get a hold of us, like I just said. What are you thinking about this game, Kevin? Are you at all worried? I mean, those other three guys on the other show that we just finished with were all saying, oh, it's going to be a blowout, don't worry about it. But
I'm not worried that they could lose the game, but I'm worried that they could win the game in a sloppy fashion. And, you know, there are those wins that sometimes feel like a loss against bad teams, much like the first half of that Kansas City game. I sort of felt like the Patriots sleptwalked, especially the offense, sleptwalked through the first half of the game. You know, I want this to be like a dominating victory from all aspects of the team in terms of special teams, defense, and offense. Like, I want everything to click. So we leave this game feeling good about the team and not, you know, well, they beat the Colts, but they're the Colts.
Well, I know. It's just that
the
problem is the rest of their schedule is has a lot of those teams on it.
True, but I might be in the minority on this one, but I think the Colts are the worst team left on the schedule. I think Miami's playing better. I think Buffalo, even though they're kind of, you know, in a nosedive, I still think they're a much better football team than Indianapolis. I think, you know, Denver's over 500. Call Tebow. He is what he is, but they're playing good football and they have a good defense. You know, you could make the argument for Washington, I think, but, you know, I'm more afraid of Washington than I would be Indianapolis.
Yeah. I don't know. Denver is the game after this that I also have a little concerns about, but we're going to get a little too far ahead of ourselves. By the way, with the Denver game, we're going to probably find out on Tuesday for sure, but I would venture to say that we're probably going to have that game flexed and have it be the Sunday night game that week, because Tebow's been playing hot. Brady and the Patriots obviously have their name, their cachet. And the other games that week, if you look at that week's slate, oh, terrible. So I would say get ready for on Tuesday an announcement by the league that that game is going to be flexed down to the night game, which I can't say I really disagree with. I wouldn't mind seeing that game be a night game either. I mean, we're going to be out there anyway. It's already a two-hour difference, but, you know, whether or not it's 4:15 or 8:30 isn't really a whole lot different at that point. Might as well be the night game that everyone's talking about watching anyway. So, I'm fine with that. I mean, like, again, it hasn't been officially announced, and it's just speculation right now. But just looking at things, I'd say that's probably a safe bet. If I were a betting man like Jeff in Vegas, who we're going to talk to in a second, I would put money on that game gets flexed. Web radio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Really quick email. Gene in Daytona says, Eric, Kevin, I am not taking this game seriously. The NFL record, Bears versus Redskins of 73-0, Bears winning, is in jeopardy. Houston will lose this weekend, making the Pats the number two seed. Tennessee will win the AFC South. Wow, that's a bold prediction by Gene. I don't know if, I still think the Texans have enough talent to win out the division, even though they have the quarterback issues. But everyone just seems to be thinking that this is going to be a blowout and a gimme game. I'm not so sure. I'm going to see what our friend Jeff in Vegas thinks. What's up, my friend?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What do you think?
I heard you talking. Hey, what's up, guys? I heard you talking about the game, and, Kevin, the term you're looking for is, it's called a backdoor cover. Like, you're way ahead, the other team scores a meaningless garbage time touchdown to cover backdoor cover.
Yeah, Andy Hart does a lot of backdoor covering, if you know what I mean.
And Kevin Collins with the multitasking, he can do it all. He can do the drops, he can do the, he can co-host.
Well, he's got the headset on, one piece is on his ear, the other one is off. He's running around crazy back there. But what do you feel, Jeff? What's your gut telling you about this game? Are you worried at all that there's going to be a letdown?
I'm very worried. And that previous emailer that we just heard from, that makes me feel good, Eric, because I think that I agree with you. I just don't like it. I like how New England just dominated. No one even thinks that, you know, although there is some history that Belichick has on the Colts' new quarterback, right? He's been around for a while.
Orlovsky?
Yeah,
he was with the Lions when they went 0-16.
He ran out
years ago. Yeah, he's a local kid. He went to UConn, and he's bounced around the league a little bit. But
So that's the one thing that I know Belichick doesn't fare quite as well when it's something he's never seen. He's got plenty of film on this guy.
Yeah.
That said, it's still the NFL, and who knows if Hoyer, you know, if they're way out ahead. You know, I know, you know, just at the end of the game, this anything could happen. And I'm starting to like that no one is giving them a chance. I'm going to have to take the 20.5 points.
Yeah, and that's what I did at the end of PFW in Progress, too. I went with the Patriots to win because I still think they're obviously the better team, and I can't see them blowing it at home to a Manningless Colt team. But I still think 20 points, 3 touchdowns might be a lot. I mean, although they should have had it last week, and they gave up the cheap backdoor. Well, was it a cover? No, it wasn't a cover last week, was it?
No, it absolutely wasn't.
Yeah, they won by 18.
Yeah,
they didn't, like, the past 2 weeks in a row, like, Kansas City really, like, dominated them for most of the first half, and even last week, the Eagles were up 10-0.
Yeah.
You know, it looked really frustrating. You know, people were going crazy on curse words, as they always do, you know, in the first 5 minutes. So, just that, because the Patriots were so dominating, and then you have people like, you know, that emailer, and they're all over Vegas. They're like, oh, New England by, you know, 40 points. And you remember back to 2007, and like you guys mentioned it today, even Fred, the Ravens game, 2007, the Eagles game, the Giants, you know, regular season finale, New England was gigantic favorites, and they barely won, you know, each of those games.
All right, Jeff, it's Prediction Thursday, so I need a score from you. What do you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to still tease that for the Patriots pregame social sponsored by JetBlue. But I will say this: there's an app on you know, iTunes you can get that it's called the TuneIn Radio app. TuneIn Radio, It's 99 cents. And someone like me, obviously, I don't have, you know, 6 hours a day to listen to every podcast. But you just hit the thing. It doesn't use up a lot of battery. The signal's really, so I can be just driving around Vegas and just have it, like, on my car radio. So that's something the listeners might want to, look at, just tune in radio. Because no one has 6 hours. Now, I can't listen to the show for the Patriots Radio for 6 hours. But while I'm driving around doing my errands, going to the book, all that stuff, it's something that the listeners, I think, might, might want to just throw it. It's only 99 cents. It's well worth it.
All right. But you teased that pretty well, but you think the Patriots are going to win.
Now I might do, again, I might do something crazy. I mean, the money line, if you can even get the money line in Vegas, which when it's that, they won't give it to you when a team is as heavily favored as the Patriots are.
Yep.
But it realistically would be like plus 1,500, like 15 to 1. So you bet $100 to make 1,500. Bet $50 to make $750 if the Colts can somehow win the game and stranger things have happened. So maybe just put like a tiny, like 10%, just a little tiny something insurance policy on the Colts on the money line, and then just take the Colts to, probably cover. And if the Patriots just destroy them, which everyone expects, then okay. I wouldn't even do a huge play on the Colts, just, straight up.
Yeah.
But this is the NFL, and that by kickoff, that number might go up to like 22.
I don't know. It's kind of.
And Eric.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the word of the day, buddy. Don't listen to anybody. Keep up that word of the day.
Listen to anybody. When have I ever listened to anybody?
the truest journalist. Say what you will about Eric Scalavino. Hey, things might be, turning. He might have some momentum going. The girl in Egypt.
It's called the groundswell.
The girl in Philadelphia now. The second girl.
All right.
The one went there. This girl lives there. And now. The word of the day being, catching on, even way out here in Las Vegas.
All right, my friend. Well, we'll catch you on we'll catch you on the pregame social this Sunday.
So what?
All right, take care, Jeff. Boy, he had more plugs in there than.
He's the human plug machine.
Seriously.
That's what I feel like. If Andy ever made any money doing radio, he would be just like Jeff in Vegas, I think. Just shamelessly plugging
in. Seriously,
everything,
just
begging,
everything and anything and everything.
For free stuff.
Anything and everything. God almighty. All right, let's take one more call before we hit the break here. Everybody's favorite caller. Our Belgian, French speaking, Italian speaking.
Eric, how are you?
Bon vivant. Olivier from Virginia. What's going on, man?
I'm good. What's the word of the day? I think I missed it.
The word of the day today was gammon.
Gannon.
Gammon. G-A-M-I-N. Gammon.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, you'll have to go and look up my Twitter account.
Fantastic.
My timeline to find out what it is.
When I sent you tweeters, you never respond. So.
No, I do sometimes. I get bombarded with that stuff. So I try to do my best to answer as many as I can. Don't take it personally if I don't respond right away.
No, don't worry about it.
So what's your feeling on this game, Olivier?
I think that, of course, the Pats, I think, are going to win. But what I'm trying to figure out is how are we going to use the weapons that we have? And we know that we obviously have some disappointment or some issues with our wide receivers, such as Taylor Price and maybe Edelwood, whatever his name is, and then Ochocinco. So I said the same thing earlier on today with PFW. I'm wondering what the strategy of Belichick is on this. I mean, he doesn't play them, so is it because they're really, really bad? If they are really, really bad, why do they have a roster spot? But or is he keeping them because they practice well, I guess, or is he keeping them in his back pocket?
It's a great question.
To impress after the postseason, or is he going to give them a bunch of reps this time? To me, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever that a brilliant mind like Belichick would actually not have a back plan in his pocket for postseason, because if all we're going to do is to play well for the next five games and give us an edge and an advantage to go into the postseason, and then be seen as a unidimensional offense that's going to be picked apart by another team like the Steeler that's going to be keeping the ball forever, then we are again facing some potential problems. I wanted to understand what your thought was on that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And Andy and I have been debating this the last few days, and I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. I mean, the poor, Taylor Price, I just don't get it. I really don't. he's been here now going on 2 years.
Yep.
And sure, he's been limited by some injuries, of course, but, you know, a lot of players fight through injuries and come back. I mean, look, Edelman's had injuries over his career, but he's now he's playing more than ever. He's playing on all three phases of the game.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they bring a guy like, you know, Tyquan Underwood, who's, you know, in and out of here three times already since training camp, and he gets a pass thrown his way.
And he drops it.
Yeah, well, he dropped it, but I mean, they felt enough, they felt confident enough in him to put him on the field and for Brady to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
Taylor Price was the only player on the 46-man active game day roster who didn't play against the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I understand. And even Ochocinco, that has some, it's supposed to be a person that practices very well during the week. He's had some, you know, some catches, you know, he's made some yards and so forth. But if he's not working, why do we keep him? And why don't we get someone else that could perhaps have a better potential than what we have today? It makes, you know, from a business sense perspective, and I know the Pats always manage like if it was a company, from a human resources perspective, you know, you're having a bunch of potentials that are being underutilized at the detriment of the future.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
No, I'm with you, Olivier, and it's frustrating. I know. It's frustrating to watch, and it's frustrating to see every day because, you know, you feel for the kid on a personal basis, and you want the team to do better, too. And you want to try to do anything you can to see that happen. And
sure.
And when you can't get answers, that's even more frustrating because, you know, we try to bring it up in press conferences, and Bill just doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, so that's funny. I respect the fact he doesn't want to talk about it, and I hope he's got a plan, and that plan will be unveiled, you know, in the future, and everyone will say, ah, that's what happened. But if he doesn't, then it's kind of, you know, if you look at this from a shareholder perspective, if you were in a regular company, it's kind of corporate sabotage because you have resources that are absolutely, you know, collecting dust on a shelf. It makes no sense. So I hope that, you know, Bill is super smart from that perspective, and he's gonna impress us.
I just wish he would tell us. All right, I gotta move you along a little bit because we have Russell Baxter coming on, but I need your prediction for this week's game, really quick. Score prediction.
In terms of the amount.
Yeah.
The spread, I think it's going to be 2.5 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns and a field goal. I think it's going to be 3 touchdowns.
Okay. Do you have a score in mind, a specific score?
Yeah, I think it's going to be probably like, I don't know, 30-15 or something, or 35-12 or something like that.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, Olivier. Au revoir. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll try to take more of your calls after we talk to Russell Baxter after this break. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Send us your score prediction, and let me know if you're feeling at all worried about this game. Are you going to be taking it seriously? Are you going to even be watching the game? I mean, they changed it from a night game to a 1 o'clock. Are you going to be doing other things, raking the leaves outside, whatever? I don't know. You might think that this game is so meaningless that you're not even going to bother watching. You'll just catch the scores later. Let me know. I'm a little bit concerned about how this game's going to play out. I still think they're going to win, but I have my concerns. Let me know what you think. Before we go to the break, too, I have one real quick email. Somebody had a question for Jeff in Vegas. It's Lyndon in California wants to know, Jeff, if you can write back in afterwards. Lyndon might be in Vegas this Sunday morning and wants to know where he can catch the Pats game. So send us your answer, and we'll send it out to Lyndon. Take this quick break, and we'll talk to Russell Baxter right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide sea pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Back inside the playbook, no John Rook today. He's out covering college basketball, we believe. Isn't that right? Is he out with PC? Covering the PC basketball at one of their preseason... Well, it's not preseason anymore, right?
No, they're actually into
regular season college basketball. So John's out. Eric Scalavino here from Patriots Football Weekly. Trying to do my best to man this ship while we can. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline prediction Thursday. Let us know what you think about Sunday's game against the Colts. I have a little bit of concern that it's not going to be quite the blowout that everyone's expecting. Still think the Pats will win, but I'm not feeling overly confident about the score and the spread that Vegas has put out there on this game. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Give us your score prediction and let me know what you're thinking about this game, what your gut is telling you, how you feel. If you're even going to watch the game. I know some people might think it's so insignificant they're not even going to bother. I know at least one person who's going to be watching because he watches every football game that's on television and even some that aren't probably. Russell Baxter, Bax Football Guru. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Captain Stubing? How are things?
The ship is sinking. We're doing fine.
I'm sure it's doing just fine.
I can swim. I can tread water. We can do enough. But before we get to talking about the Patriots and the Colts this weekend, some breaking news. Looks like the Vikings are going to release Donovan McNabb. Do you think the Texans, even though they've picked up Jake Delhomme, are going to have any interest in maybe adding to their stable of backup quarterbacks?
Well, and they also have Kellen Clemens there, I believe, as well.
That's right, so, they do.
I mean, there's probably a lot of teams that are going to at least take a look-see, with five games to go for everybody. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt to have a veteran quarterback on your roster. And, we're seeing a trend the last couple of weeks, Eric, because of injuries and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been at least, like, two quarterback changes seemingly every week. So, I mean, there's been speculation that Donovan would like to play back in Chicago, which is originally where he's from, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I'm sure, in these next couple of days, whenever he's officially released, he's going to be brought in by teams.
Do you think he clears waivers?
Well, yeah, and I'm sure he will. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I'm beating a dead horse here. Having a multi-time Pro Bowler on your roster, I know Donovan's last couple of years have not nearly been what he was earlier in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Having an experienced guy, even if you have that experienced guy to help a younger guy around, it certainly can't hurt.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really as concerned about McNabb and where he ends up as I am just the Patriots keeping pace with the likes of the Steelers and the Ravens and the Texans even though they're going through their, some of the worst luck that a team could possibly go through. I'm a little concerned, Russell, honestly, about Sunday's game with the Colts. It's an 0-11 team. They're changing quarterbacks. They fired their defensive coordinator. I know all that. And at the end of the day, I still look at the roster and I see Dwight Freeney still there. I see Robert Mathis is still there. I see Reggie Wayne and Pierre Garçon. I see a New England secondary that still is sort of patchwork. I see an offensive line that's taking a lot of hits. They're now down to their third center, who's now on the injury report as well. They have a right tackle who's hurt, and they're going to have to probably start a rookie there this week. I just, trap games, I think this is one of those weeks where the potential exists.
Well, listen, it's a wounded animal, for lack of a better word. Literally, it's a colt.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can't say a wounded animal, per se.
Mm.
And, stranger things have happened. Go back to the year when the Packers were the defending Super Bowl champions and went into 0-10 Indianapolis and lost. They got back to the Super Bowl that year.
Yep.
And wound up losing to the Broncos. So, stranger things have happened and so on. This Colts team, I threw out an interesting number because we've gotten so spoiled by Peyton Manning being there and so on. This Colts team in 11 games has scored 150 points. Last year in the second quarter alone, the Colts scored 160.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I know that's obviously that's Peyton Manning and healthy parts and all that stuff. But, what you're also seeing with the Colts is the lack of offense and also the defense, the inability to stop the run. It's been a total collapse. And it's not just Peyton Manning not being there. It's the Melvin Bullets not being there and Gary Brackett not being there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've lost a lot of people. I mean,
sure.
But I understand. I also understand hearing part of Bill Belichick's press conference
yesterday,
the other day,
yeah,
or whenever it was, when mm-hmm. he talked about blocking Dwight Freeney and covering Reggie Wayne. Yes, football is a game of matchups. Okay, it just is. I was talking to somebody earlier today. Explain this one, and again, it's a game of matchups. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and the seven, I'm going to say the 17-0 Green Bay Packers, because he's won 17 straight games. The Packers have won 17 straight games. Eric, over that span, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 47 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions.
That's unbelievable.
That's an amazing number. Four of those 7 interceptions were in 3 games against the Bears. And he beat the Bears all 3 of those times. Okay, the last game of the season, the NFC Championship game, and earlier this year in Chicago.
Yep.
But 4 of the 7, okay?
Against
one
team.
So is there something their DBs are able to do?
Mm-hmm.
That other DBs aren't. I mean, that means the other 3 interceptions in the other 17 games.
Right.
You know, why
against that
why
team?
Why did we see this series, which, you know, it's funny. 3 years ago, we saw this series without Tom Brady, and now we see this series without Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But why did we see this series, you know, the Patriots win, what, 6 in a row, and now the Colts have won 5 of the last 7, even though they lost last year in that very exciting game last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a game of matchup. It's a game of trends. But it's also a game where you see New England's ability to score points and the Colts' inability to score points. And unless Dwight Freeney does get in there a couple of times, and there's a couple of strip sacks, and there's maybe, I mean, I think the Colts are going to have to find other ways to score. The problem is they're not scoring a lot of points. And against this team, you got to be able to score points again. They have regained their footing.
Mm-hmm.
They had that 3-game stretch where it was 20 or fewer. Now
right.
we're back to 30 or more.
Right.
So, you know, the Colts this year haven't scored any more than 24 points in any game, which was a loss to the Chiefs. They scored 20 against the Steelers, and that's it as far as getting in the 20s.
Well,
so unless they come up with a very novel concept, I understand trepidation and so on, but I'm just trying to figure out how they would do it, not much, you know, much less if it can be done.
Right. No, I hear you. All the logic tells you that this is going to be a blowout. You know, I mean, even the league said, you know, this game is obviously not worthy of being the primetime game of the week, and they moved it. And I wholeheartedly agree with that decision. There's no reason why this game should be in prime time. I just worry when too many people take a game for granted that the opposite happens. You know, maybe I'm still a little bit snake bit by Super Bowl 42.
Sure.
But ever since then, I really. Because all through that season, Russell, every week felt like a foregone conclusion. And once the first quarter was over with in those games, we were all just kind of sitting back going, can we go home now? Because we know how this is going to end.
Right.
And even in the playoffs when things started getting close and they had some close games, we knew they were going to pull it out. But ever since that Super Bowl, I've stopped taking for granted that this team is going to destroy teams.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was reminiscing with somebody about the Super Bowl, you know, because we were in a discussion about the Giants, who, of course, the last time they won a game was beat the Patriots up at Foxborough this year, and now they're riding a 3-game losing streak.
Yep.
And the thing that always struck me about that game was I was sitting up in the press box with some people, and I remember after the opening drive, and as you well know, it was 3-0, and that was not the thing that struck me about the game. I turned to a friend of mine and said, look at the clock. And his first reaction was it's 3-0. What? I said, no, look at the clock. And, of course, you know it said 5:01 because the Giants took 10 minutes off the clock of that Super Bowl. And the Patriots came back and scored a touchdown right away. I mean, it was 7-3. But it was 7-3 going into the fourth quarter. And that's the tempo of that game changed from the get-go. And, you know, that's what football is about. Football is about tempo. Football is about consistency. Football is about continuity and so on. I understand what you're talking about a banged-up offensive line, because there's nothing worse when it comes to the offense than the offensive line being banged up. I think that's why the Giants are a team that were so reliable running the football, and now they can't run the football because that continuity they had on their offensive line for about 2 or 3 years is gone. And that's for any of the 32 teams in the league.
And especially in New England, what is the way to beat this Patriots team? You pressure Tom Brady up the middle.
Right. But you also got to capitalize on those as well. If I remember the Monday night game against the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago, I think they got Brady three times pretty early.
Yeah.
But it was also 3-0 for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the floodgates opened and that
they were able
back.
To adjust, right.
So when you get those chances to hit Tom Brady or you get those chances to hit Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, you want to get what we like to call the hat trick. The sack, the recovery,
the and fumble the and the recovery and the return. Yeah.
And that's, you know, those are the kind of game changing plays that put pressure on. Listen, I point this out all the time. There are so many different ways to win a football game, and I don't want to sound like I'm preaching here. But one of my favorite statistics in the last 10 or 11 years is the New England Patriots' first Super Bowl run, in which their offensive unit scored 3 touchdowns in 3 playoff games and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
They scored 1 in each,
mm-hmm.
and as you well remember,
yeah.
one of those was via Drew Bledsoe,
mm-hmm.
not Tom Brady, because Brady yeah. got knocked out of the title game.
Yeah.
Interception return, punt return, blocked field goal return.
Yep.
There's so many ways to do. I mean, look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they won their Super Bowl 9 years ago.
Right.
They scored their share of offensive touchdowns, but they ran 3 interceptions back.
Right.
They all count the same way. So, the degree of mistakes that the Colts have made this year, it's not like their offense is horrible and their defense is respectable. They've struggled on both sides of the ball, and that's how you become 0-11. I've seen, you go back to almost 20 years ago, a Seattle team that was 2-14. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but you'll understand my point. They scored 140 points, Eric, in 16 games, which is the record for the fewest in a 16-game season.
Mm-hmm.
Cortez Kennedy was the defensive player of the year because he had such an incredible year on a horrible football team.
Yeah.
You couldn't help but notice his contribution.
He stood out, right.
And the defense was terrific. But when you average less than 10 points a game in this modern era of football, yeah, obviously you're going to be 2-14.
Yeah. Looking ahead really quick, because right after this Colts game, on Tuesday, we're going to get an announcement from the league on whether or not they're going to flex schedule any of the games 2 weeks from now. And 2 weeks from now, New England goes to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sneaking suspicion that the league is going to say New England and Denver is going to be the Sunday night game that week.
Gee, I wonder. I'm trying to think why they would do that.
Yeah, I wonder why as well.
Let me think.
Are you a believer? Let me just ask the question. Are you a believer?
I just know. I don't know if I believe. See, I'm such a team football guy. I just know that the thing that I admire most about Tim Tebow is he doesn't care. Here's, to me, I think the key to it. He doesn't care how he plays for 55 minutes. And, in this day and age where we're so judging body language and facial expressions and so on, you talk about, so many games where guys aren't able to shrug off bad starts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's had his share. I mean, I think he finally completed 50% of his passes last week.
Yeah.
I believe that the way they're playing football right now is the best way for them to win. I don't think people realize they've already run for 200 more yards than they ran all of last year. They're mm-hmm. averaging over 200 yards per game rushing during this 6-game Tim Tebow starting streak.
And that's mostly because of him, right?
Well, but Willis McGahee's having a bang-up year as well. Okay? They ran for 195 yards in the game that they lost 45-10 to the Detroit Lions. So their persistency with the run. Now, last week, Tim Tebow ran the ball 22 times, which is unheard of, obviously, unless you're, playing college football and you're in the wishbone. But, case in point, the last 3 games, Denver has not scored more than 17 points. But they've also not given up more than 13 points.
Mm.
So there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. They've got 10 sacks in the last 3 games. I give John Fox – listen, John Fox knows something about the running game. A couple years ago he had a couple of 1,000-yard rushers and D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart.
Yep.
Their defense. Remember, gave up the most offensive touchdowns last year, gave up the most points in the league last year. Now, they're a far cry from that. And the way it was looking early in the season, they didn't look like they were that much better. But they're getting better defensively. They're helped by the ball control offense. And he comes in and makes just enough plays to do what he has to do. Now, what if I see Tim Tebow and the Broncos down 24-0, I think that's a different ballgame. Mm. I think it's 17-0 it could even be a difference. Although, I know it was 15-0 against Miami. If it's within shouting distance, you know what I think's funny, Eric? I think even the opposition is almost waiting for Tim Tebow to do his thing.
Yeah.
And, again, it's a team game, but because he does so much with his arms and his legs, it's just amazing. Listen, you had to be nothing but impressed in that Harbaugh game. It's one thing to drive 60 yards for the game-winning field goal or game-winning touchdown. Yep. It's another to drive 95.
Yeah.
And 95 is, you mean, that's substantial.
And he did it. And he did it with some throws. Not all of it was running.
He did do it with some throws, and I think we forget that in that game as well. So I just think his ability to block out bad plays and just, you know, that faith in himself to say, who cares what I did the rest of the game?
Yeah.
We're down by 4. If we get a touchdown, we win, and nobody cares. Like, I've used the analogy. You know, if you're 70 yards out and you're headed toward the sand trap and the ball hits the rake and bounces into the hole, I'm still writing 2 or 3 on the scorecard.
Right.
So, style points, I think Mike Tomlin of the Steelers used it most of points. We're not interested in style points.
Yeah.
And well, 6-5 is 6-5, and it's a far cry from being 4-12.
We're gonna talk plenty about Tebow in a couple of weeks when we have that game. But I just wanted to get a quick preview because, like I said, I know we're gonna find out on Tuesday whether or not that game is the national game, and I have very little doubt that it will be. Before we let you go, Russell, any prediction on the Packers Giants game? Because you know the Giants know a little something about ending a team's perfect season. Any chance that happens?
They do. And, you know, it's fine. It should also be pointed out that, you know, the start of this 17-game winning streak by the Packers began with a win over the Giants last year in Lambeau Field where they blasted New York 45-17. That was the start of it. It was the week after Aaron Rodgers sat out the New England game with the concussion and Tom Quinn played. And, you know, it was a game I called the turning point for the Packers season because I thought the Packers, you know, outplayed the Patriots with their backup quarterback. New England won the game.
Oh, they did. I think they absolutely did.
Great confidence was gained by the Packers in that game.
Right.
And they haven't lost since. It's 17 in a row.
So the last game they lost.
It's a dangerous spot, obviously. If you go on the road anytime, and now I know the Packers have had success everywhere. I understand that. But all it takes is a couple strip sacks. Now, Aaron Rodgers hasn't turned over the ball much, you know, this year alone, 33 touchdowns and 4 picks. But they've got some offensive linemen banged up.
Yep, they do.
I think the Giants make this very interesting in the first half, but it's almost like you feel like the Packers have a day with destiny.
So you think they're going 16-0?
To a degree. And the thing that propels Green Bay this year, which I think is so interesting, is having that pursuer. Because here's what we know. Say Green Bay loses and San Francisco beats the Rams. Well, all of a sudden, 11-1 and 10-2. And who says to say that San Francisco can't catch Green Bay for the top seed in the NFC? That's what's pushing. You know, it's less so in the division now because now they have a 4-game lead over Chicago and Detroit with 5 to play.
Yeah.
But the fact that San Francisco is on their heels and within shouting distance as far as getting the top seed, I think that motivates the Packers as much as anything else. And more importantly, Eric, they want to win the division. They didn't do that last year.
Yeah.
They were a 10-6 wild card that won the Super Bowl. I mean, I just think the sky's the limit for them. And until I see a crack in Aaron Rodgers' armor and also the way the Packers are playing defense in terms of turning over the opposition, which, you know, the Giants are, you know, back to turning over the football again, I think you just got to lean toward Green Bay.
All right, so Green Bay wins, New England wins. Is that safe?
Yeah, saying? I think that's safe to say. I think the you know, it's funny. In 07, we had the unbeaten Pats.
Yep.
08, we had the winless Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the twain shall meet this year, and we have one of each in one season.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be amazing.
Well, I'd like to I'd like to have your confidence that it's going to be a blowout. Most people's confidence, I should say, that it's going to be a blowout. I think the Patriots will win. I think it'll be in the 30s for New England. Maybe even 40.
Eric, can I
maybe
ask
even
you a question?
Maybe even 40. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think people are looking for a blowout, or dare I say, the people are looking for the cover?
Blowout.
Because 20 would be a blowout, and I don't know if that's necessarily what everybody wants.
No, I think they're looking for a blowout. Honestly do. I think they need. I think the team needs it from a confidence building standpoint to continue. You know, especially on defense, the way they've been playing of late, they've had some slow starts on offense. I think they need to come out right away and build up a nice 14, 17, 21 point lead, and then from that point on, maybe coast a little bit. Because, like you said, they had that midseason sort of dip where they weren't scoring much, and they weren't giving up much either, but they weren't scoring enough. Yeah, but they weren't scoring enough. They just seemed a little out of sorts for a few games. And I think they've sort of gotten that confidence back, and to put their foot on the throat of an opponent, even though it's a very wounded opponent, I think would help them propel them. Because my biggest fear is that they come out a little soft in this game, and they lose pace with. And I said this at the beginning of the show. They lose pace with Pittsburgh, who they already have lost the tiebreaker to. They drop behind potentially Baltimore if they can. Beat a Browns team that they should beat handily, and I'm not taking for granted that Houston's going to lose because they have a third string quarterback in there. The Falcons have been inconsistent playing against quality competition all year this year. So, in order for New England to maintain that one or two seed in the playoffs, they're number two right now, I believe. I'm hearing too many people say this is going to be a blowout, and I worry that they're taking it for granted, and I just hope that the team is buying into what Bill has, you know, was saying at his press conference yesterday, and the attitude that he brought to this, that, you know, records don't matter. It's about what happens on that particular day.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I in my mind, I think if the Colts score 17 or 20 points, one of them's going to have to be by the defense of the special teams. You just don't see any consistency from them offensively. I know they had a little last week with Donald Brown and so on, but, you know, it's just not there. And you brought up the AFC. It is fascinating to watch. You've got four teams with the best record in the conference.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you see two, sometimes you see three. But you actually see four right now.
Which is why you can't afford to stumble.
The Raiders lurking at 7-4. Of course,
exactly.
Cincinnati is 7-4 as well.
And look out for the Broncos.
Yeah, and the Broncos and the Jets sitting at 6-5. So,
right.
You know, it seems like, you know, we could actually, by the end of the weekend, see Green Bay and San Francisco clinch playoff spurts.
Yeah.
They're the only teams in the conference that can do that. Nobody in the AFC is close to clinching anything now.
No, and that's, in a way, makes it more exciting. But
absolutely.
It also, you know, for fans, you want them to wrap it up as quickly as possible. But all right, Russell, well, enjoy the games this weekend. And I must say, one of the thrills of covering the games each week is when I send out my tweets and I get that little notification that I've been retweeted by Bax Football Guru. Nothing makes me happier than when I see that, because I know I've done something pretty good.
Well, it's great to read your stuff and so on, and you keep everybody pretty informed, and you do the same for me, and I appreciate that and so on. It's fun. You know, the nice thing about Twitter is just being able to interact with the fans and interact with other members of the media who you don't ordinarily get to meet. And it's one big melting pot out there right now.
It is, and it does. It makes it a little bit more fun to cover the games.
Absolutely.
I think. All right, well, enjoy them, and we'll talk to you next week on the Playbook. And there's going to be a lot to talk about the following week. So I'll be.
And we'll see if your bigger prediction comes true when it comes to the flex game.
Yes. Tuesday, around Tuesday afternoon, I think we'll... We'll know for sure, but I'm going to put money on it. It's going to be the night game.
You got it.
All right, Russell, we'll talk to you then. That's Russell Baxter from Bax Football Guru, best man in the business when it comes to football stats. We'll talk to you, Russell.
Okay, Eric.
All right, that's going to almost wrap it up. We're going to take a couple of more emails here at webradio@patriots.com for predictions for this game. I'm going to go to Nick in Victoria. Says, hey, Sunday spread's a little crazy, but the Pats will destroy the Colts because of this. The Pats need to use this game as practice for Tom and 85, Chad Ochocinco. Once they're up by a couple scores, start getting Tom and Ocho in sync. Let the league and the fans, for that matter, see Tom has yet another weapon to fear. Or just sit Just sitting behind Taylor Price collecting a pile of cash for wearing Hernandez's number. Man, people still want to pile on Ocho, and can't really say that I blame him all that much. All right, last one. Mike from New York says, once I heard that this game was moving to 1 o'clock, I jumped to get tickets. Being from New York, it's tough to go to primetime games because I have to go to back to work on Monday. It's a long drive, too. My God. Peyton or not, it's a great rivalry, and I think the Colts are going to keep it kind of close. Yeah, I'm with you. Great individual talent on the Colts side, and they have been competitive in most games. Prediction, Patriots 31, Colts 21. Brady throws two, Benny runs one, one pick six, one field goal. Thanks, you guys are awesome. All right, that's Mike from New York. Well, that was a quick hour, huh? We're going to wrap it up now. If you're listening live, I know you can't get enough of this, but we're going to replay this show. And if you're listening via podcast, better news, you can skip over the next hour and you can just download the Pete Shepherd Show, which starts at 4 o'clock. Bilo is going to be part of that first hour with his fantasy lowdown. As for us, we'll see you on Twitter, on the blog, and we'll be covering the game on Sunday. Patriots pregame social, sponsored by JetBlue, 10:45 this Sunday. That's when it kicks off, 10:45 to 12:45 because of the 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll join you, and we'll see you then.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.